If you're a pastor, elder, deacon, nonprofit, board member, or business owner, I need you to listen to this. K&K Furnishings needs to be on your short list. K&K Furnishings are committed to helping you find the right furnishings for your church or organization. These guys specialize in quality worship seating, welcome centers, cafes, nurseries, classrooms, as well as stage and podium furnishings. The two owners have over 70 years of combined pastoral experience, so not only will every transaction be handled with integrity and professionalism, but they have the experience to provide you with the perfect solutions for your furniture needs, and they absolutely understand your budget constraints and demands. K&K Furnishings are devoted to providing you quality pieces that save you money. They can do this because they don't have the overhead of a brick and mortar store, and they have relationships with over 200 manufacturers nationwide. Look, we all know there's a lot of junk out there. K&K understands that many times bargains aren't true money savers. They end up costing you more in the long run. At K&K, they believe that quality furnishings don't have to be outrageously expensive. And here's the best part. K&K Furnishings sells nationally and can also provide in-person consultations in Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana. If you can't meet in person, they'd be happy to set up a Zoom consultation for you today. So whatever your next project is, whether it's your home office or your church sanctuary, K&K Furnishings is the only place you need to look. Go to www.kkfurnishings.com to see how they can help you, or call 567-318-4520. That's www.kkfurnishings.com, or call 567-318-4520, or click on the link in the description of this episode. K&K Furnishings, furnishing business, education, worship, and hospitality for the glory of God. Hey guys, before we get into this week's episode, I gotta tell you about Jacob's Supply. Jacob's Supply is the place you gotta go for all of your material needs. These guys bring you construction supplies and appliances for up to 50% off retail price, all brand new. You a home builder? Need some lumber? Jacob's Supply has you covered. You a deacon at your church and you're in charge of that next Narthex floor job? Jacob's Supply has got you. Heck, they got Cortec Luxury Vinyl Plank right now for $3.59 a square foot. Go look that stuff up at Lowe's or Home Depot, man. That stuff is selling for $7 to $8 a square foot. That's over 50% off retail. Even if you just have some home projects you're working on, Jacob's Supply is the place for you. I just built an outdoor grilling area this spring for that old smoker and grill. Guess where I got the metal roof, lumber, and screws? Yeah, that's right, Jacob's Supply. Looking for a fridge, stove, washer, dryer? They got them all, and they're name brand. Samsung, Bosch, Frigidaire, all 20, 30, 40% off retail. Brand new and ready for you. Located in Temperance, Michigan, it's worth it to stop by even if you're a few hours away. And remember, Jacob's Supply can ship products nationally too. So even if you're out of state, you got to check them out. Follow them on Facebook at Jacob's Supply or call them direct at 734-224-0978. That's 734-224-0978. Remember, Jacob's Supply, quality building materials at wholesale prices. And now, on to the show. Exploring theology, doctrine, and all of the fascinating subjects in between, broadcasting from an undisclosed location, Dead Men Walking starts
now.
Oh, man. For those of you watching, I didn't have my, couldn't find my mug. I saw that it wasn't sitting here. I was just got back from a conference in Kentucky, guys. So, you know, the studio's not all set up, so you didn't see the mug. But, yes, welcome to Dead Men Walking Podcast. Thanks for coming along on the ride. Thanks for being here. Thanks for following us on socials at Dead Men Walking Podcast. Of course, dmwpodcast.com. And the podcast where we say undisclosed location, and then somewhere in the episode, I absolutely disclose my location. So we're going to have to update that because people have written into me and said, wait, aren't you in Michigan? You said where you were at. So we thought it'd be fun 4 years ago, but we're going to have to update that intro music. But guys, I don't want to belabor too much here because we have some special guests on. It's the oldest augmented reality and virtual reality company in the United States. These guys are the CEO and the CSO of Gravity Jack. With us is Luke and Jennifer Ritchie. How are you guys doing?
Excellent.
Oh, good.
And did I say the last name right? I didn't check pre-show, but it is Ritchie, correct?
You did.
It's Ritchie.
Yeah. So we talk. So we talk a lot about tech on this podcast. We talk a lot about where things are going in the culture, what's popular, how we can improve our lives, not only as believers but just as people that you know, that have community and live in the state and the country and all those things. And it's always interesting to bring on entrepreneurs and business owners such as yourself to talk about these things because it's a crazy ride. I'm a business owner myself. We have some listeners that. That are business owners. So we're going to get into all of it here today. But first, can you introduce yourself, both of you, to the listeners? Give us a little short bio on who you are and what you're all about.
Jen, you go first. Ladies first.
Sorry, I should have said who goes
first.
So
No, that's okay. Gosh, a little bio about yourself. It's hard to sum it up, right? Sum up your life in 30 seconds. But from a personal perspective, married, mom of four. We actually have a granddaughter as well. We live in Washington State. God came from a small testimony. You could do a whole podcast on it, perspective. I'm a first generation Christian. We wanted to raise our family with Christ, and we tried. But it wasn't until 2019 that we learned what it really meant to know the Lord, love the Lord, follow the Lord, all in for him. Radical transformation. God just said, enough is enough. It's time. And he came and he grabbed us. So that was 2019. From that point forward, it's all forfeit for him. And our company, Gravity Jack, is actually our third company together. First company was a software company, pre-mobile, so on PC, got acquired to a gaming company. And Gravity Jack was founded in 2009 on the basis of AR. I was originally going to be an attorney when I got swooped up into the tech space, and I don't regret it for a minute. Never a dull moment in the tech world, ever evolving.
I'm sure that tech world, there's some times and instances where you can put that kind of mind that wanted to be an attorney to use, right? There's a lot of things to argue through, and
We've got a great IP portfolio, a patent portfolio. And so I got to be a part of that in the beginning. That's kind of what kicked our company off. So we've got patents in the space right now that some major brands and companies are licensing. But yes, between contracting and things along those lines, an attorney mind helps.
Luke, how about you, brother?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, so I started coding when I was 14. It was kind of an outlet for me. I loved it. I had an aptitude for it. So I was also hacking at a very early age. And this is back before encryption. So I really just want to talk about the Jesus component. So because that's where, you know, everything started to make sense. In 2017, he started to just perform miracles and just kind of changing us. Because prior to our repentance, I mean, I was narcissistic, didn't love people, selfish. And I was trying to do good. Like I had this relative moral standard. But yeah, he really came and got us. We were actually getting a divorce. And by the way, Jennifer is my wife. So I'm also the father of four.
That's good. It's good that those numbers match up.
We were getting separate. We were separated, and independently the same night, we were both repenting. And it was so drastic for me. I woke up different. I woke up changed. I woke up seeing colors different. And I woke up actually loving people, which was just something. I was like, I knew something had occurred because I had like something flowing out of me like that had never been there before. And I knew what being born again meant. And we lived, like Jen said, we'd gone to church. I mean, we were patriots, you know, you're American, you God and your guns, like that's what you do. But it was there, something had transformed that actually drove a revival throughout our family. What occurred with Jennifer and I, and it drove a revival in our kids. And I'm not talking just immediate family, I'm talking like extended family, cousins, in-laws. Jen's brother just accepted Christ a month ago, so it's still going, like this, the reverberations of this event. And after that, I was like, oh God, I've wasted my life. Like I've learned, you know, physics and about the quanta and all this crap, computer science. And it was clear actually we hadn't. Like he's been in, his hand's been in everything the entire time. And so we just said, let's give this company to God. And then what does that look like? And we'll probably get more into that, but that's where we're at. And yeah, we started this company in 2009 on the basis of augmented reality. So that was at a point when people were saying that'll never happen in our lifetime. We actually got laughed out of a few rooms for, they're like, yes, that's too crazy.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll get into that in a minute, but I do want to spend a little more time on the testimony part, because, and you're in good company. I grew up in church. I've said many times on the podcast, I said the sinner's prayer at 7 got saved at 24. So you read into that however you want, knew of God, kind of had an understanding of God, but didn't have an actual heart change and a change of how I viewed God, how I viewed people, the grace that I had been given and how I should freely give that to others, until I was 24. So I think we might be a little similar there too. And I think a lot of Christians in America maybe have that, just a knowledge of, right? I mean, geez, if you're born anywhere in the Midwest or South, most places in the United States, you're going to see a Bible, hear about, you know, Jesus or Christ or God, but there's really no true knowledge or relationship there. But let's talk about testimony for a minute, because I love the bio that you guys sent over and just said radically saved 2019. How did that come about? I mean, were you seeking? And this question is for either one of you. You can both jump in, but were you seeking? Was it something that came out of left field? Like, how does that happen? Because I love to hear stories on how the Lord saves people.
Leading up to it, so we always say, especially in a marriage perspective, like love, passion, adventure. You know, we're skydivers, sport bikers. It was never our problem. It was put your marriage first, and that's going to bless your children, which is true. But nowhere in our line, the Lord didn't have a place, and He should be at the top. Period. End of the story. And so, in I would say 2016, really 2017 and 18. We just became really nasty versions of ourselves. We just grabbed onto the world and did, I mean, things that just grieve my heart now, you know, where just all kinds of, again, just we grabbed onto the world and it just progressively got worse. You know, yeah, we had that intellectual knowledge of Christ, but even that was getting dimmer. And like Luke said before, we separated on our way to a divorce. For anyone who knew us before, it was like, you're the power couple, that you're the what, huh? And you're never going to live in the fullness of your marriage without, I mean, you can't do it without the Lord. And that separation is really what was the catalyst of you're losing it all. It's gone. And all of these things you're doing up until that point are nothing. And then when that repentance, I mean, I was 37 at the time, to know that I'd gone 37 years without ever really repenting, it's kind of an icky thought, you know, and then it was just repent.
Yes. I was just going to say there was miracles that occurred. We actually had, there was an orphanage that we supported. And we had the pastor from that orphanage email me in 2016. And this was prophetic. And so I don't know where this podcast lands on that, but he said, you're going to go through the school of renunciation and you're going to lose everything to gain everything. And I was kind of like, you know, I actually think I actually verbalized F you, like that's not going to happen to me. And then it just slowly started happening. I lost my health. I couldn't skydive anymore. I couldn't fight. I couldn't ride my motorcycle, my sport bike. Just everything started to degrade. And this awesome businessman that I thought I was, really, I realized, everything I used to do doesn't work anymore. Like the spigot just got turned off. And in that process, though, he was also healing things in me because I was grew up severely abused in every category. And so my thinking was just broken. But there was actually miracles that occurred, both health, spiritually. And I won't go into all of them, but it was drastic. And like I would have change occur, you know, each year God was kind of doing something. And then in 2019, the last thing that happened was he just took me through my sin one night. It wrecked me. Like I just started having memories of everything that I'd done to people, to my wife, to my kids. And I didn't even know what to do with that. I sat on it for 3 days and I didn't know a sinner's prayer. I didn't have anything memorized. I just was living at my mom's in her basement and she was gone in Israel on a trip. And I just screamed out all night, help me, God, you got to help me. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't want to be this way anymore. I don't even know what to do with what you showed me, the things I've done. Because he took me through everything. Like, I mean, I remembered things there was no way to remember. And I woke up different. Yeah. So, I mean, he helped me overnight. And he removed the shame. There's still remorse on some of those things, of course. But all of a sudden, you're walking in this different, like you're freed. I call it freedom slavery now, because every time I become a slave to him, he just frees me.
Paradox, isn't it? When we read in the scriptures where it says slave to Christ and everyone goes, oh, it's all these rules and you've got to find, there's a freedom in laying down your will and your life and then being a slave to Christ and his righteousness. And I was very same. I was laying on a mattress in Detroit in, you know, in a loft. My girlfriend of 6 years, now my wife of 17 years, said, I no longer want anything to do with you. My band, which was signed to a major label, had just been dropped. I had no job, no money, no place to live, no friends, no driver's license. And I just was laying on a mattress and sobbing, going, well, maybe I still have Jesus. Do I have him? Yeah. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I always tell people, when you are in that valley, when you are being refined, when you are in that place in life where it feels like you can go no farther, we don't say, Christ, can you get us out of this? We go, Christ, what are you trying to teach me? How can I learn? How can I come closer to you? Read through the Psalms, right? I'm preaching to the choir here. David was a man that was, yes, a conqueror and a warrior. He was also depressed and in despair a lot. Why have you forsaken me? Where are you? Right? My God. And it says that God is close to the brokenhearted. And sometimes I believe I had so much pride in my life. He goes, fine, we can do it that way. We can do it the hard way. We will break every single thing off in your life to the only thing you have is me, Christ and Christ alone.
And thank God he did.
I'll tell you what, I'm getting goosebumps just saying it again because he's so good, right? And we've been given so much grace. We now have to give that grace to others. And that is through our works. We're not saved by works. We're saved by Christ alone and in his righteousness through faith. But we do those works. We want to do those things. We want to build things. We want to start companies that bless people, right? So let's move into that because I'm extremely excited about Gravity Jack. Reading the website and kind of going through and familiarizing myself with what you guys are doing, augmented reality, virtual reality, it's a crazy space. And you two, I was talking to Jen right before you jumped on, Luke, talking how you guys are skydivers and thrill seekers, and you got that adrenaline bone in your body where it's like, you know, we need that excitement. Well, there's no bigger excitement in roller coaster ride than running a business, right? Tell me about how you got into this space. Yeah, he's laughing. You guys are both laughing. Yeah, you know. let's wake up every day and not be homeless. Let's figure it out, right?
so much truth in that.
but there's something to that. When the Lord's with you, supporting you, you're doing things for his glory, and then you go, okay, let's build something. How'd you get into that space? Because that is a very unique space, one that's exploding, but very unique. Tell me a little bit about how you guys got into that space.
Yeah, the raw version. Yeah, like, not everybody knows necessarily the raw version, but we've been married 21 years. So, you know, over the years, he would, in the very beginning, he'd start to talk about tech coming out, you know, and then it was kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. So I'm taking care of the kids and cooking. And then a couple of years later, he'd open Visual Studio Magazine. Hey, you remember that thing I was telling you about? Look at it right here. He'd keep doing that over and over and over. And finally, I was like, oh my gosh, okay, for husbands out there, you're going to love this one. Because I was like, he is right all the time on these things.
Got that recording.
On these things. On the asterisk.
Yeah, we're recording. It's recording.
So when in 2007-08, he starts for the context, App Store came out 2008. So he starts talking to me about augmented reality, how we're not even going to need our phones, screens are going to go away, you're going to see things digitally, you know, heads up, blah blah blah. And I'm thinking, what? We got to patent this. And it was like many years before. He's like, yeah, moving on. And I'm like, no, really, we got to, let's slow this down. Let's meet with some attorneys and let's really dig in. And that's when I started going to the USPTO website, searching for augmented reality. There was like 2 pages of results for anyone in the legal realm. That's unheard of. So we met with an attorney. We sat down and we patented the methods and techniques in order for augmented reality to be used. And then started Gravity Jack and really stayed in the field. Started, you know, creating executions with all kinds of clients, Department of Defense, Fortune 100 companies, and it's led up to where we're at now. We've had an R&D team running over the years at different points, which has led up to, you know, a major project we're working on now called War Tribe of Binyamin, which is an augmented reality mobile game.
Okay.
And it's awesome. It's funny. God was even, when we wrote the mission statement, we're like, to change the world. Right. And what we're thinking is visually, we're changing the world. And you just see that God was even, and I'm giving you the short form of the mission statement, but it's all about how you add digital content in and, you know, change what people are viewing. Because literally we can change stuff that we're looking at. And but that's actually now, you know, obviously is also prophetic because that's what we're moving towards, is, you know, a mechanism to actually change the world, take people out of poverty.
So just to be clear, are you guys the software side and the hardware side, just software, just one or the other? Like what is the product or service that Gravity Jack actually has?
So we only do the software we create. We are completely hardware platform agnostic. So we can do iOS, Android, HoloLens, the new Apple Vision Pro that's coming out. And then VR side, you know, we've done Vive, Oculus, really any of the wearables and hardware out there we can create too, but we do not do anything in the hardware space. So our IP, our patents, our software patents around how you would have to write code in order for it to work on different devices.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, and this might be a bad analogy. I'm not in the space, so, you know, say, no, Greg, that's not the right analogy. But I feel like AR, augmented reality, virtual reality, it's still kind of in that cell phone stage of when we were just starting to get it. Oh, look at this. It has a full keyboard. Oh, we can take this crazy Windows 2000 and shrink it down into a little thing. And it was clunky and it was still kind of, it was getting there and we were headed in the right direction. But then we had kind of like an iPhone moment where iPhone came out and said, hey guys, we're like probably 5 years ahead of everyone else. And by within 2 years, it captured 80% of the smartphone market. Are we looking, is that where AR, I mean, I know there's some amazing stuff, don't get me wrong, in AR and virtuality, but are we waiting for that moment? Do you think where it maybe a hardware or something will just really capture it and then take it off? Or are we just going to have gradual steps for the next 5 or 10 years?
That's such a good question. We've literally been waiting for the hardware timeline. So in 2009, Jen sets me down. She's like, okay, map it all out. Like, what's going to come? When's it going to come? And so the when part was the part that I've 100% been incorrect on. But the actual order of each thing has been 100% accurate. I mean, we predicted Google Glass. We predicted the Apple Vision Pro. Like every single step that's occurred in the industry has been on the timeline that we drew back then. The Apple Vision Pro is transcendent for the industry itself, potentially even humanity for what it represents. That's why we were in Hong Kong in March, heard from an engineer that the Apple Vision Pro was actually going to get announced that summer. That's when we decided to actually re-kick off our game. So the patents were written around a game that we formulated in this time that would kind of really drive augmented reality. And so when we heard, okay, it's going to be announced, we knew that's the marker of when things are really going to get crazy. Like you're going to see stuff you can't even imagine, especially with the convergence that's occurring right now with AI. Because AI combined with computer vision and augmented reality are going to do things that you, they're going to augment humans, not just our visual sphere, but us as people are going to be augmented in this capability that's coming. And the Apple Vision Pro is that first marker. Full field of view, high resolution. You'll be able to put digital content into a scene and you won't really know if it's real or not until you go try to touch it. It's going to remove geography.
Okay. Go ahead, Jen.
I was just going to say, it's important that we have that evolution though, from a tech perspective, from a user perspective, right? Yeah. Luke, myself, people in the industry, 2009, you can like, boom, I could see that coming. We could have jumped this chasm, right? But a lot of users, they need to have this gradual, exposure to the tech where, Pokemon Go, everybody talks about AR. It doesn't even really do much AR, but people are like, that's what that is. And then Snapchat and face filters and like little rainbow things and antlers. And then people are like, okay, that's cool. Okay, well, wait, if I can put a rainbow or antlers here, I could put a couch in my living room and then that's value. Oh, I want that. Right. And so it gets them used to using it and then desiring it, which allows for things like headsets and wearables and Apple Vision Pro to be something where people go, that's the next step. And I want that thing.
Yeah. So selfishly for 5 years, I've been waiting for, maybe I should have been a little more proactive, but about 5 years ago, I've been in real estate for 15 years, a broker for the last 10 of those with my own agents. And I went, boy, I would love to have a shop where I've just got maybe five or six 360 degree treadmills, some great AR stuff. I can send my guys out and take 360 degree of every house. When someone comes in and goes, hey, I want to run across town and look at 12 different homes, I go, here, step into my office. Let's go tour them. We'll limit it down to the two or three that you really want to see because you've just done a full immersive 8K tour and then save time. And you know what I mean? And I went, man, that would be cool. And here I'm now that I'm talking about it out loud, and I have been for the last few years, I probably should be working towards that instead of just waiting for someone to walk up to my door and go, oh, here's this idea you had, but there's so many uses for it is what I'm trying to say going into the future. And I'm wondering as two believers, and I'm a believer, is there any, should we, cause you have some Christians that are very apprehensive about tech, internet, augmented reality, like, whoa, crypto, you should hear some of the conversations I have with Christians that just go, oh no, we should go stick our head in the sands and wait for Christ to return, where I'm more, well, you know what? I think we should go out there and build things and advance the kingdom of Christ and use those technologies for God's glory. They've been given to us so that we can give him glory. What is your guys' stance on that? Being in that space, I think I know what the answer is going to be, but should we have any concerns about AR and all these different things and technology as believers?
Yes and no. So
Okay.
Like I said, there's this marker coming. Imagine sitting in your living room and the pastor's actually standing there and you watched his sermon, but now he's actually there in telepresence. And we know our brains process emotionally the same way as soon as you add a 3D coordinate. So we literally translate things the same way as if it's in person. And so there's this moment in time coming where we kind of eliminate geography, and the Christian church as it stands isn't ready for a revival. Like, everybody prays for this billion soul revival, which I pray for, but we can't scale what we're doing right now. We're crappy at discipleship. We're horrible at a whole lot of things. Unless we actually add a technological element into it, how do we scale a billion people coming in? We have 2.3 billion people that claim Christendom. And sure, you've got maybe 2% of those people actually discipling. So we have to learn how do we actually, with the few harvesters, magnify or, force multiply what they're doing. And I believe I don't believe this. I wholeheartedly, run with this, that we can scale what we're doing in those efforts with Christianity. That said, this same capability, the enemy wants to twist. So we've got, we seeded the ground because of that unbiblical view that we're supposed to not be in certain spaces. We seeded the ground to the enemy, and Web 2 is owned by porn. And, you don't have to go into all the damaging things that does to the people, the relationships, the people who consume it, the people who make it, all of it. But there is this false connection that will be able to be occurred. So if Christians don't step into this space, if they don't say, hey, the convergence of AI and AR is something we should own, I would predict it's a species ending event, because all of a sudden people are going to be interacting with people that aren't real. And they're not going to be forming true human connection. And then ultimately porn will own that space too. I mean, it's really, do you want to give the ground to the enemy or not? That's kind of the view work. Or you could use this tool to disciple a revival that occurs on the planet that's never been seen before. More souls coming in than have lived. Like, that's the possibility.
Yeah, Jen, I think you'd be in
that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it makes my heart a little sad, because I think it's important that we really boil things down to the core of it, right? And the core of that is fear for those saying that. Like, oh, this is bad. We should stay away from it. Now, we should balance it. You shouldn't be on your phone 12 hours out of a day or 4 hours out of a day. But to just say, oh, it's evil, and bury your head in the sand. Like, we have to step up. We have to fight these battles. And some of them are digital battles. And to Luke's point, if we as believers are not in it, the enemy will own it, period. End. People need to understand that.
Yeah, that's so good. I mean, and we see this, I think, in every iteration of technology, right? I think back to even 30 years ago when the internet was in its infancy. Like I said, I grew up in church, and my dad was a computer wholesaler. So I was around Commodore 64s and learned DOS, and, was the first person in my neighborhood to have a CD-ROM and a Pentium 66, which was insane. And you know what I mean? And all these things. And we had a lot of believers, and the 80s was a unique time too, for kind of the moral majority and this very conservative view of this fundamentalist of don't touch it, don't look at it, it's all evil, it's all from Satan, right? And it was the internet, and it's do you know how many believers I've met that said, if the internet wasn't there for me to hear that sermon, to hear the word of the gospel preached? I mean, we've taken the internet and we now have podcasts and sermons and videos and all these things that are proclaiming Christ crucified and glorifying God. Yes, we absolutely should not just kind of, throw the, what do they say? Throw the baby out with the bathwater,
so to speak.
Did I say that right? I think that was.
Yeah.
So I think we're tracking on the same, and I think most of the listeners here would probably think the same way too. Is we're in this space. Obviously there's things to look out for, right? But I believe too that sometimes the believers only hear the crazy wacky stuff, and then, oh, Elon Musk wants to put a chip in our brain. It's all bad. And you go, well, hold on here a second. We have a company like what you guys have, and you're right. I mean, you're at the tip spear of this industry, and you're creating something, and you're believers, and you're going, we want to bless people with what we do. So with Gravity Jack, how can someone support you? Let's say they're listening right now and they go, yeah, I have a headset, or I'm thinking of getting a headset, or I want to get into AR. How do they support Gravity Jack? Is it through the games that you guys provide through the hardware?
Well, there's a couple. We create custom executions for clients, brands, et cetera. They can come to, if you have a, they have ideas and they want us to create it, that's what we do, is one vertical of our kind of agency division. Then we have our patents. And this third piece, the kind of immediate now to support us, is we actually just launched our first public offering on startengine.com. So you can go to startengine.com, look for Gravity Jack if you actually want to financially buy into the company. And it shares in all of Gravity Jack, not just the game that we're doing. But kind of piggybacking on the last question of being afraid of these technologies and how they're being used. And you're saying, well, look at how the internet and podcasts and sermons, this is a positive way for the faith. War Tribe of Binyamin is a dual platform, mobile augmented reality game. In this game, it's a secular game, but in the game, there's going to be quests. All, and this is a global. So it's very encourages cross-border, especially with all the political stuff right now, all these governments fighting. The people are still beautiful people. I mean, we were just in Singapore a couple of weeks ago and met with Malaysians and people from Taiwan and Vietnam. The people are lovely, and there's believers all over the world. So this game encourages cross-border gameplay. And then also an element of it in poorer economies, in poverty-ridden economies, you know, Asia, parts of China, Middle East, Africa. Yeah. There are quests in the game that people in these economies. So there's an 85% penetration rate in the world of people with smartphones. So there you can be in this tiny little village in the middle of nowhere, and there's one, you know, maybe one person in the whole family has a smartphone, but they've got a phone and they're gaming. And so in these poverty-ridden areas, you can do a quest that is a language translation quest to earn in-game currency that can be extracted out into their local currency. So real money. These people can actually earn real money in the game by doing these translations. They'll translate Shakespeare, you know, Moby Dick, the first chapter of John. So in that, they're actually, whether they know it or not, translating the word of God. We are getting an artificial intelligence translation engine. So some people who are like, AI is bad. Yeah, but we're going to be able to create this AI language translation engine that can allow us to speak to these people who otherwise we wouldn't have been able to speak to in their heart language. That's a beautiful thing. So that's another way that you could get directly involved. I would highly go wartribe.gravityjack.com and check that out.
Yeah, and we'll make sure we link all of this up too. Go ahead, Luke. I'm sorry.
Cool. Thanks, Greg.
If you break this down, Google, ChatGPT, they target half the planet, the top 100 languages. They have no desire to target the other 7,100 languages that are unreached by an AI, NLP, natural language processing engine. The reason they don't want to is, one, the people groups are small, and two, they're typically that 50% is also the people that live in poverty. So what we're actually doing, though, is we're giving them real work. We uplift them up out of poverty. We bring them into the world economic system. And then we have a company now, Gravity Jack, which bases its company on God-born principles. And now we have the capacity to speak to half the planet. And we're not owned by a woke company. This is Google. I mean, you hop in ChatGPT, it's woke. And it's going to continue to be. And it's going to continue to spew the things of the world. And now we have half, we're going to literally compete with them, but for half the planet. And it's literally the half the planet we're supposed to be going for. We're supposed to take care of the poor. All of our gifts and every blessing is supposed to be poured out to bless others. And then that's kingdom economy. And the math actually works when you start bringing people into productivity and you stop this prisoner's dilemma that they're stuck in. It's a game changer, you know, excuse the pun.
No, that's good. Hey, listen, so we're coming up on time here, but there's just a few more quick questions I wanted to ask you, because I could sit here for an hour and talk to you guys, because it's so very interesting, especially visiting with other brothers and sisters in the Lord. But you touched on wokeism a little bit. Why do you think that seems to be, well, maybe I'm being cliche here, but it seems to be very accepted and really pushed within the tech communities. Maybe first, maybe now it's all leveling off in other places. Heck, we see it in church and everywhere else. But why do you think they were an early adopter of kind of that woke mentality? Was there money in it for them? Was it the governments wanted them to get on board? Like, I've asked that to a few people in this space, and I was just wondering why it seems to be so prevalent, or like I said, early adopters in that space. What do you guys think about that?
My personal opinion is look at the origins of where these tech megas are coming from. They're coming from these dense urban cities that have a naturally woke leaning agenda. And then they've got the money behind them to continue to push this through. And, you know, also from a faith perspective, I think the enemy, You know, he can lift them up financially, enable them to do this. It starts real subtle, like the movie industry 50 years ago. Now some of the stuff out there is so blatant. It's insane.
Yeah.
I think it's a little more like systemic, like a heart issue where you have highly intelligent people, often really gifted and poor in some other potential areas, like social skills, or, you know, just like to make a cliche there, but, and they, you start to worship your mind. Like you have this capability that nobody else does. And I mean, pride is just the best little like insert that the enemy uses to lever you into full deception, because then you can't even see the beauty of the genome and like how it's perfectly crafted to be self-replicating, polymorphic, encrypted, like the biggest mechanism of store. Like you like lose the capacity to see what's right in front of you because you worship your own self. That's what I've experienced in talking to people. And I start to get like, I try to break through, you know, even people on our team. I'm like, you can't see the beauty of this.
No, it is crazy too. People with high intelligence, a lot of knowledge, you can let that pride really blind you from what we say, the simple things of God. Obviously they're very intricate when you're talking about genome and when we look into space, and we you know, we just had the president of Ligonier on talking with Elon Musk in deep time and deep space and all these things. But it's, I had an uncle that was that way. He's a lead engineer for the largest car manufacturer in the United States. And I was in my late 20s. He was in his mid 30s. And he would argue theistic evolution. Oh, maybe God created an amoeba and then it did this and that. And right. But his own intelligence really stopped him from seeing the glories of God. You know, 10 years later, the Lord radically saved him. And now it's like, oh my gosh, talk about an intelligent guy that's also loving the Lord and serving him. It's like the Lord knew exactly what he was doing. It's just double amplified. So, you know, my heart really goes out for those guys too, to where Christ said, come unto me like a child. Sometimes you have to have faith and just go, I don't know, Dad, I trust you. And then the glories of the universe through his creation are opened up to us. And it's just a beautiful thing. But before we get out of here with you guys now, Jen glossed over it and she said, oh, skydiving, and then went on to some other stuff. And we were talking a little bit before we started recording. I know you guys both skydive. Give us something for the listeners. What's either one of the craziest kind of adrenaline things you guys have done, or maybe a fun story or a scary story of when we did something like that? What was the most impactful?
One of Jen, we'll start with you. Go, Jen. You go.
I'll say the scary, I don't know if scariest, because it happened so fast. You didn't have time to be scared, but looking back, you're like, that could have been really wrong. So we ride sport bikes now too. He had to get a 4-level artificial disc replacement done in 2017 in Germany, which is why we don't skydive anymore. Because I said, he's like a Pez dispenser. Like they're just going to come popping out. So we ride our sport bikes more than we jump. And there was one ride, we're up in Canada. And at the time, I mean, I'm not going to say our top speeds on the radio show because people get upset about it, but we were riding through probably around, I don't know, 140, 150, Luke-ish, something like that. And he runs point. So he's in front, and there's deer on the highway, middle of the highway. There's got to be line like of six them. Deer. Like, yeah. Across. Like, it's not like you could just bop into the other lane. I mean, they're like all over.
Yeah.
And there was this hole that's like, I mean, the size of our bikes, I feel like. So he gets into the hole and he's going to go through it. And his bike doesn't have an exhaust. It's just crazy loud. I think it's too loud. But so he pops through the hole, but his punches down. So that sound makes this deer jump up. I didn't know deer could do this. Jumps up with its front legs vertical and starts doing this like wailing thing. Yeah. And all I could do was just get down and pop through, made it through, and we were totally fine. But you had to just think so fast, and it was just stay in the hole and go. But I was like, what was that deer doing?
This whole event too is like less than a second. Like that, from seeing the deer to, we're like punched down, you got to hit it hard. Cause if you were to hit a deer, you want to hit it straight on. And the more momentum I have, the more I'm going to miss that deer. I've had friends survive it, and I've had friends not. And the ones that like punch down, boom, I'm just going to, if I'm going to hit it, I'm going to hit it. like as fast as I can. I want to be the momentum that cuts into.
I knew he would be good because I saw the hole. It was just like, is that hole still going to be there?
Yeah.
When it's my turn. So it was like, that was the. Yeah.
Well, listen, Luke, before we get into yours, I will just say, you know, in 3 weeks in Northern Michigan at my property, when I'm out in my blind, I will keep that in mind. If I see any deer, I'm say this one's for Luke and Jen taking this down your uncle, and I'm taking the meat back to the freezer with me. Nice. So I'll get one. How about you, Luke?
Well, we've done so many. We've like had every adventure. We've jumped from hot air balloons, and we've jumped at 26,000 feet and did Birdman. And one of my favorites, though, was also motorcycle, because we had two semis coming at us, and we filmed this. It was like when 360, when we were still doing stitching our own videos. But so we rode at the semis. So two semis coming down the freeway, and we split the semis coming at us.
Wow.
And so – and you get to a certain speed, about 160, your eyeballs start humming, and the world just becomes this hum. And, you know, then faster, it's just like I don't know how to describe it unless you've done it, but it's just the best.
Splitting feeling. Was more fun than the hot air balloon?
I liked the relativity of something coming by me that fast, because it's like, poof, like you're just like, poof, and then it's gone.
How fast were the semis going in the opposite direction, or were they still?
About 50.
And they were riding. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So it's real fast through that split. Yeah.
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 Wow. That's crazy. Well, so guys, let's finish up here. So are you guys on social anywhere? Do you guys want people following you, or do you guys do any of that? If so, throw out the handles or where you want people to go.
Most of it, I think Gravity Jack, check us out there. We'll link onto it too. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on LinkedIn. Luke, you might want to throw, I'm not heavy into the socials scene anymore. But you know, when it comes to business stuff, definitely.
Yeah, it's just at Gravity Jack on all the socials. But yeah, our website has links, and definitely wartribe.gravityjack.com. That's our main thing we're doing right now. And it's it is Godborn. We have lots of awesome partnerships, and it's good. It's fun. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for being on. And guys, I forgot to ask him the reason for the name Gravity Jack, but guess what? You're going to have to go to the website and read that very interesting reason why they named the company that. And who knows, maybe we'll have them back sometime and they can talk about that. Luke, Jen, thanks so much for being on the podcast. I absolutely loved your testimony. Love what you guys are doing in the space. We absolutely support you here at the podcast. And if you ever need anything in the future, definitely don't hesitate to ask or come back on when you got something exciting going on that we want to talk about. Okay.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks, Greg.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one. Guys, thanks so much for listening to another episode of Dead Men Walking Podcast. We appreciate all that you guys do. Remember, you can check us out at dmwpodcast.com. We've got some snarky t-shirts there too. You can support the show if you want. We've got conferences coming up in the next few weeks. I'll make sure we announce those on the upcoming episodes. You can keep track of where we're at in the United States. But as always, God, remember, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. God bless. Be sure to check us out at dmwpodcast.com, where you can purchase the best and snarkiest merch on the internet, support the show, and leave us a review or message. Dead Men Walking can be found on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Dead Men Walking Podcast, and on Twitter X at Real DMW Podcast. The Dead Men Walking Podcast is part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. For exclusive show content, be sure to download the PubDV app and become a member. If you're a business that needs to reach hundreds of thousands of potential customers in your demographic, podcast advertising might be for you. Send all inquiries to deadmenwalkingpodcast@gmail.com.
None your biscuits.